Today's guest is Sheetal Kurup, and she is an immigrant who came over to the United States from India with her brand new husband, and she became a mom early and really said she couldn't work in the United States with the visa she was on. So it's her story of a couple of midlife pivots. After being a stay-at-home mom, having a hobby that she was interested in, and then really a book that changed her life, which then set her on a path to get certified in several different modalities and really begin to follow her inner intuition and what it was telling her. And she talks about kind of her spiritual background. She touches on that and how that kind of impacted her and really two key areas, which she'll get into. And so it's really a fascinating story, immigrant story, and how she's really contributing to our society. Today, she was able to go back to work, but she talks about how she was a lawyer and how she came to this country and she couldn't use what she was trained in, which ultimately was a blessing because it wasn't who she was meant to be. So that was maybe a good thing. But yeah, how frustrated could that be when you spend years practicing and getting a degree that required a lot of effort and really makes your parents proud as well, and then not being able to use it and then having to figure it out. But often the lessons are in the figuring it out. The lessons are in the challenges. And she is now living a truly sparked life and doing what she loves. And she just recently pivoted to this new thing. And she has gained so much experience just based on following what she was curious about. So with no further ado, let's listen to her story.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today's guest is Sheetal Kurup. She's got a name that I had to practice a couple times, but welcome to the program, Sheetal.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. She and I have been trying to get together for months. So we finally got our schedules together, but I'm excited to talk to her because she is certified in so many things. It's going to be hard to figure out how to narrow it down and what we're going to talk about, but her journey is very interesting and her backstory is very interesting because she came to this country at age 25 and as a lawyer or had studied law and worked in a law firm in India, and she came here and she wasn't allowed to work as a spouse on the visa she came on, in on. And it's like, can you imagine how trapped that must feel that you can't, like, now granted she became a mom and that filled her up for a little while, but we'll talk about that too, because ultimately I think some of us need more fulfillment than just our children. So anyways, she's certified in NLP, EFT. This is neuro-linguistic programming. EFT is tapping, if you haven't heard of that. And then hypnosis. She's a life and success coach, and she's a human design reader, certified in human design, which is something I've gotten into and love. So we'll talk about that too. So welcome, and share a little bit about your journey and how it started, how you came here. One of the things you said in your write-up is that you've always followed your intuition, and a lot of people don't do that. So yeah, so tell me when intuition, you started to realize what that was and that you actually listened to it.
Yeah, right. I'm so excited to share my story. So it happened in 2003. I came here to the US as a married, you know, spouse on a dependent visa. So I couldn't legally work here because we were not allowed to work. But right now the rules have changed. So in 2003, I came here. I was having the time of my life because it was a new country. So I was exploring the culture, like, you know, the cuisine, the places. So it was fun. Then after 2 years of marriage, we decided, you know, let's have kids. So I had my first daughter in 2006. And then I had my second one in 2010. So that was very fulfilling, you know, being a new mom and having all the time. So I was a very hands-on mom. I was like, you know, totally devoted to them. And I taught them sign language. So whenever, even when they were kids, I always kept myself busy learning new things, you know, teaching them sign language when they were babies and then teaching them how to read. So they started reading when they were like 3 years old. So that was fun. But then like when my second daughter was almost like 3 years old, I started questioning. I was like, okay, what is it am I meant to do in this life? You know, am I just have to be a housewife, a mom, or is there something more to me? And what triggered me was like, you know, I would hear all these accolades my husband, like, you know, would tell me. I mean, I felt very appreciative of that. I felt, you know, honored by what he was achieving. But then I felt, you know, even I can do that, you know, I'm also capable. And I know there is something of value I can provide to the world. So that's how it started. And in the meantime, in those years, I was planning a lot of events for my kids. I was planning their birthday parties, and my friends would like, you know, they would love the events I would plan for my kids because they were all very unique, very different, full of details. And then that led to like planning events for my friends. So I would do their baby showers. And that's when one day when somebody asked, did you hire like a professional event planner? And that's what like, you know, gave me some validation. Okay, I'm really good at this. And that's when then my friends started telling me like, you know, you're so good in event planning. Why don't you just make it your career or start a business? And I was like, no, I mean, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I'm so creative, you know. I still had doubts because I was a lawyer in India. So my whole background was like studying law, being a lawyer, you know, working in law firms. I thought I had this like very logical brain, very analytical. And I didn't think, you know, I was this creative person. But then my husband like pushed me on. He said, no, like, you know, just do it, you know, see. And I was like, okay, fine. Let me just explore this side of it because it just comes to me very naturally. And I felt that, oh, everybody should be able to do events or, you know, great designs. But then I understood that, you know, this is not something which can everybody can do it. You know, this is something I have the skill. So let me just explore. And that's when my intuition like started guiding me like, you know, okay, that if you want to go in this field, event planning, event design, why don't you get certified? And I started searching, like, you know, I had no idea about this field, like, you know, what it is. So I started searching and suddenly IVED, Institute of Wedding and Event Design, the website popped up and that piqued my interest. And something said within me, this is what you have to do. You have to go and get certified. So I was like,
so okay, how many years? So tell me how many years this was that you were like experimenting, essentially, you know, you're doing it for fun. It was a hobby and you helped people.
So yeah,
you got serious about it.
So it was almost like from, you can say from 2007, that's when I had my daughter's first birthday, till 2014.
Yeah.
That's what it was a long time.
Experience. Yeah. Yeah. Dabbling for a long time. Gaining experience. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I had this experience of planning so many events, you know, in my house for my kids, for my friends. So, and plus I was a stay-at-home mom for almost over a decade. So it's been like almost like 10, 12 years now. So in around 2015, you know, that's when I started like, okay, I have to study, I have to get certified. And I did because my kids were small. So I was like, okay, instead of like traveling, and you know, I was not very comfortable leaving because I was a very hands-on mom, you know, I had to be with them. So I was like, okay, like whatever I can do online, let me do it. So I did that online course, got certified. I was so proud of myself, you know, managing kids, managing house, doing this, you know, something for me for the first time, you know, studying here. And I did that. And then in 2017, I was in California at the time. Then my husband like got a job in New York. So we moved to NJ. And that was around 2016. So we came here, settled down. And 2017 is the time I launched my business. You know, I just went full on. And
was it local or was it online or was it a combination of both?
No, it was all local because mm-hmm. I was doing designs for the event. So it was very local, very hands-on. Mm-hmm. And also, I was like the first entrepreneur in my family. I had no one whom I could look up to.
I love that.
Excuse me. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I wrote down when we were talking, no examples, no role models. So here you are now modeling that for your children, which is
exactly
great.
Exactly.
Right. I also want to mention because mm-hmm. what I love is that mm-hmm. you didn't sit around and do nothing while your kids were growing up. Clearly, as they started to go to school and you had more time,
right.
you started to create this hobby, which is like setting yourself up.
Right.
So you won't be so sad when they leave.
Right.
You'll have something that fills you up and essentially fills your cup, as I like to say. So exactly. You're smart. You're super smart for doing this because based on the ages, it sounds like you're still momming it in many ways. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So being an entrepreneur was like obviously very scary. I was like nervous because. First of all, this is the first time I'm actually doing something, going and working and, trying to earn that income. The fact that I'm not here from this country, I don't have any work experience, nor any education. So I had those fears, will people hire me? Will they understand my accent? All these silly fears. Now I think they're all silly, but I had them at that time when I was starting out and had to overcome them. I had to just push myself through all these fears. Just go out there. And my intuition started guiding me because I started asking questions like, what next? How can I make this business work? How can I get that first client? Because I thought, oh my God, no one will even pay me $200.
If you come into everything with this lawyer mindset, mm-hmm. breaking down everything, problem solving, logical, right. critical mind, how did you read something? Did you learn something? Did you have an experience that said, hey, listen internally, stop trying to figure everything out. Let it come to you. What made you do that? A lot of people do that.
Yeah. So the biggest part is my faith because growing up, I have been very religious. So I'm a Hindu from India. So we have our guide, which is Shirdi Sai Baba. So I believe a lot in him. And he was always there for me because anything in my life, any troubles, I would just look up to him. And he teaches two principles, just have faith and just have patience. So I always used to believe in that. And I didn't know this. I have this inner voice. Now that I look back, and I see my journey, I understand that I was always guided. There was always something within me telling me to do things. And I just started following it. I don't know how I did it. Maybe it's because of this immense faith in the unknown, immense faith in my guide that there is somebody watching over me and there is somebody guiding me. So, that was at the core of my belief always. But for
me, the other thing that you did, which mm-hmm. is smart, is that you followed your curiosity.
Right.
That you had the faith and the patience, but you also kept, I wrote down knowledge expansion when you were talking because you were always wanting to expand your knowledge, but it was always driven by what you were interested in, what you're curious about, which
that is so true because at the time I was interested in event planning. So I was always learning things. I got certified, but I didn't stop at that. I went and attended so many workshops, on event design, balloons. Balloons is something which came into my, into my awareness. So I went and got trained as a balloon decorator. So I went to Florida, Tampa for a week-long training, so I was just guided, okay, do this, do that. And once I did that, once I launched my business, it felt so easy because then I had the support because when I went to these conferences, I was networking with people, with other professionals, with other entrepreneurs, so looking at them, looking at their stories, it gave me a sense of if they can do it, even I can do it. I met other moms who are in the business. So that really helped me. And when I came in New Jersey in the year 2016, 2017 is when my business started. By 2018, I was very popular in my town. So everybody knew me. So wherever I would go and they would just hear my name, Sheetal, they were like, oh my God, you are the one who does all those amazing designs, So yeah, it's been very fulfilling for me over the years. what I had set to achieve, like, you know, I accomplished that, the questions which I had, you know, that if I go into this world, will I be able to make money? Like, yes, I was able to make money. I did create a six-figure business. So I was so proud of that. But then, yes, you know, you are always growing, you're evolving. So by within like 2 years of my business, when I was having this massive success, people knew me, like, you know, I was a nobody in this town, but now everybody, the whole community knows me. So I've achieved that. But then there was something within me which said, you know, that there is more to life. Sheetal, this isn't it. There is something deeper. And so I started having all these questions, you know, that what am I supposed to do next? You know, okay, I have this business. I achieved what I wanted to achieve, go out of the house, earn money. You know, show that, you know, I have something of value, prove that, but I know there is something deeper now. And I know I'm meant to serve others in a very deeper way. So that's when I started reading a lot of books. I got introduced to this book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Waters. And yeah, that book has been very life-changing for me because that changed my whole mindset on abundance. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you are like always like, you know, obviously, like, you know, sometimes you have that mindset, oh my God, you have to work so hard for money, like, you know, money is so hard to come by. And I had those money fears, like, okay, when will my next money come from? When will the next client come from? Oh my God, I have to work these 14, 16 hours a day. So I had all those, like, you know, those beliefs about running a business, about life. But that book changed my life, changed my mindset and made me aware that we live in a very abundant universe, you know, like even if you just look outside your window, you'll see an abundance of like trees, leaves, you know, flowers everywhere.
Nature acorns, has provided. Acorns,
exactly, a lot of
acorns.
Yeah.
an abundance of acorns right now, which tells, right. Which I hear is going to be a hard winter is what I hear. But anyway, not to, yeah. So yeah, it is so abundant, so rich in color. Yeah,
exactly. I love the season. Like, you know, oh my God, this is my favorite season. So I love it. Yeah. So that's how it changed my mindset. And that I just kept exploring. So I went on this whole journey of like personal development, you know, growth. And then I knew I had to like, you know, bring my experience, my expertise, my journey and help other women. Because what I had learned, the mindset change I had, you know, this abundance shift, limiting beliefs, because I thought, you know, as I had this belief, oh my God, nobody will hire me, not even pay me $200. You know, that was this belief I had and had to overcome all those, even the belief that, oh my God, I have to work so hard to achieve success. And when I understood that, you know, you don't have to necessarily work hard, you know, you have to work from within, from inside out, you can make a change and things can come easily to you. And there are forces outside of you which are willing to help you. You have your spirit guides, you know, things easily that support always comes to you. And when I started shifting my mindset, I started seeing the shift in my life, you know. Clients just started coming to me without me putting an effort. Things just started, the money started rolling in. And even in pandemic, that was the best year of my business when people were like, you know, so many event planners, like they didn't have business, no events were happening. For me, that was a time when I made like a huge sale, like, you know, that time. So that means the universe was there looking after me. I just had to work on my intuition, whatever the guidance I was having.
And have faith, so yes. Right?
Sorry?
Have faith.
Like, yes, have faith completely. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because I was worried. I was like, oh my God, because events are shut down with the pandemic. Yeah. And I was like running out of money. Like, when am I going to get my next client, the money and all? And but I was like, you know, it's okay. Doesn't matter or whatever it is. I'm just going to focus this time as, you know, for my personal development, read a lot of books, finish all the courses which I've taken. And I was like all set to do that, but then the universe has other plans for you, like, you know, and the universe.
Yeah, and can you speak to that? Can you speak to that? Because that's so important. And that's kind of like the detachment in it all, because clearly your mindset, well, what, you know, if you are in tune with your intuition, you're probably were in this space of, well, then something different is meant for me. Right. You know, it's okay. It's, and so then you shifted into this, well, I'll focus on this instead. So that's in a way detaching from the worries.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Detaching from your circumstances, from the outcome, you know, from that need energy, that want energy. Oh my God, I want money. I want business. I want clients, you know, but I just let go. I said, you know, the whole world is in a pandemic right now. You know, it's okay if the events are not happening, everything is shut down. But how can I make most of this? I turned it into a very positive, like, you know, mindset. Okay, that's fine. Let me, okay, I have all these wonderful books I have to read. You know, I have all these wonderful courses, you know, let me just do that, you know.
And yeah, analogy that I love, which I shared before we hit record, is if you think about how you feel, and I'm sure people have experienced this who are listening, is like, have you ever dated somebody and they like are so needy?
Right.
Like I always liked the guys that were hard to get. Right. There was this like, oh, you know, and so it's like the universe feels that neediness and it's like turned off. It's like, I'll go elsewhere. I'll go elsewhere. And because the neediness, what the neediness implies is lack of trust.
Exactly. And it also implies scarcity. It implies that you are only perpetuating that whatever you think of. If you are in this need energy all the time, you are only perpetuating the need energy in your life. You're perpetuating the more of want, more of lack. So rather than that, you know, shift it more to abundance, to positivity. And so that's what I did. I saw the shift and I got guided, you know, that, okay, let me just go put this post, because I was doing a course that time by Tony Robbins. And there was this one advice I got. He said, it was by Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi. And they said that, because I used to feel like marketing is like, you know, the sales is so icky. Like, you know, how do I go promote my sales? So I had this mindset.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
Yeah. And we all do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta like embrace it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brace your inner. I think the problem is, and you'll probably talk about this, but the problem is that when we think of marketing, we think of pushing people, you know, instead of pulling people. Where, you know, it's a service oriented. If you just think about service,
right,
instead of sales, because the best salespeople. If you've ever read the book Go Giver, such a good book.
It is. Okay, I'll put it on my list.
It's very quick read. It was kind of like Who Moved My Cheese, Go Giver. And it's about this guy, and he's a salesperson, and he's not a good salesperson. But that's because he's always going in with the intent of the sale, with the intent of the outcome. When he switches into like, how can I give to my clients? Exactly. Like, what can I do for my clients? And started putting like kind of their needs before his needs.
Right.
That's kind of the mistake that we make when we think about marketing, and we just need to change our
right. Exactly. Yeah. So exactly. So even I was taught in the course, like, and I realized that it's a service, you know, and if you don't put your services, your products out there, you're doing a great disservice to people because they can benefit from what you have to offer. So think it like that you're being of service to them. And that's when I started thinking, oh my God, you know, events are shut down. People cannot celebrate. But they have birthdays, they have anniversaries, you know. So I came up with this idea that let's put balloons in the yard. You know, I know people like, you know, we had to maintain this distance. So I started advertising in my local group and it just blew off. You know, the whole thing was like, oh my God, in a day I would get like 50 to like 70 inquiries. And it was so hard for me to keep up, you know, with so many inquiries pouring in, and my business just took off in the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was
they had the thing where you would get in a caravan and you drive by somebody's house and they'd be like, you know, right. So it was a great way to like alternative way of celebrating
that. And even during that time, I put up displays in my front yard. So I put up a lot of balloon displays, you know, just doing a service to people. And I would just send an email to my community, because we have this WhatsApp group and we have an email chain. And I would tell them, you know, that I put up these displays of balloons. You know, I would make like an Easter bunny. It was during April, Easter bunny, then made a rainbow, a balloon arch, put a lot of daisy balloon flowers, and just encourage people to drive by so that, you know, the kids can at least get a reason to come out of the house and just see some like colorful display, just cheer them up, you know. So when I did that, people loved it. Everybody was like, oh my God, thank you so much for doing this, because it gave us a reason to step out of the house, because we could just drive by and just to see these colorful balloons, you know, displayed outside. They brought us so much cheer, because people were so much in sadness, you know, depression, anxiety during that time. And I was so glad I was able to be of service through this. And that's how it gave me the idea, like, you know, why not put these displays outside people's home, you know, when they have birthdays, you know, they have celebrations, so that at least they can see from the windows and they can enjoy these. And when I started marketing, like, you know, people love this idea. So I was like getting inquiries left and right. So my business.
Yeah. So I just want to interrupt and say, this is a lawyer. I mean, and who thought she wasn't creative. Right. Like, what is the opportunity here when you like get quiet and listen to what's inside of you? Like that, what a like opposite, you know, way of life in terms of what you did versus what you were doing that lit you up so much. It was so great.
Exactly.
And looking back, did the lawyering light you up as much as the event?
No, it didn't. It didn't. Yeah. It didn't light me up, because what happens, see, when you're growing in India, you only have like three career choices. You can be a doctor, you can be an engineer. And if you cannot be either, then you become a lawyer. Right. And so, so I just went with that because I was young, you know, 17, 18, you don't know what you want of life, you know, that time.
And your parents love it, right?
Yeah,
my parents. Oh, yeah, my daughter's a lawyer. Yeah,
exactly. And my dad was the one, you know, who told me like, okay, I think you should do this. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll just do this, you know? So that's how I went with it, but it never lit me up. You know, I mean, I don't think I finished it. I was a lawyer, I was working, but I was like, no, this, I don't think I'm meant for this, you know, but anyway, things changed. I got married, you know, I came here. And maybe I was meant to be this.
Yeah, I love that your husband was supportive, because that makes a big
always,
difference.
Yeah, he was always supportive, because he told me that, you know, he has a good job in a good position, you know, so finances were never a problem for us. So he was like, you know, now you have this time, just do what lights you up, you know, just follow whatever you want to do. There is no pressure on you that you have to go make money. But I was like, okay, that's why I started like listening a lot to what I want to do, like myself, you know, my inner drive, what is it? And I just went for it. And so this whole pandemic, obviously business was booming and making a lot of money. I made like sales in 3-4 months, which I hadn't made it in a year. So it was like amazing. But then, you know, I had my spiritual awakening, which I said, you know, and then I was like, there's something more to me. I have a lot to share, because when I was growing up as a child, I went through my own trauma. So I had three fathers, three stepdads. And so that was something I had to deal with. I didn't even tell my kids. I just last year I told them that, you know, mommy had three dads, because when you're growing up in India at that time, you know, you couldn't speak openly about it. My second dad, my mom had a live-in relationship. So she was not even married. So, you know, I went through all that. So I couldn't even tell my friends. So yeah, a lot of things I had to deal with. I had to overcome, because now I can see, I can talk to you without any emotional charge. Before, even if I would say about my childhood or having the experience of three dads, I would start crying, because there was so much healing for me to do. So I went to a quantum healing, like, you know, hypnosis therapist. I did that session. I went and did Akashic record reading to understand what my past is, so that I can understand, you know, why is it that things happen to me? And yeah, a lot of healing I did around myself. Also to find out my true self, like who am I and what am I here to do? What is my final purpose? So I had all these raging questions within me. And that's why I was led to all these modalities, because I knew I had to heal myself. Before I go out in the world and help other women entrepreneurs or other people, I have to make sure that I'm healed, you know, I'm more grounded in who I am. I'm more confident in who I am, so that I can go and help and show them the light, be the beacon for them. So yes, I went through all this, and that was my journey, like, you know, after the pandemic, or during the pandemic, you can say, despite having a successful business, there were these burning questions within me. And so last year I let go of that business.
It was
in November 21. I just announced that I'm no longer in this business, because my intuition started guiding me to go into coaching to help people. And I was like, okay, if I have to coach somebody, I need to have some tools with me, like, so I can properly guide them, you know, better guide them. And that's when I was guided to Yes Supply Method. I went and got certified in NLP, EFT, hypnosis. Again, my intuition guided that, you know, I have to dive deeper to know myself. So I was guided to human design. So I got my human design reading during the pandemic, and I loved it so much. I was like, oh my God, you know, this is who I am. It just gave me permission to be me. Like, there were so many things, like, I'm a manifesting generator. So for me, it's very easy, like, you know, be multi-passionate. And now when I look back, when I see my events business, I was very multi-passionate. You know, I would do event planning. I would do wedding planning. I would do decor. And my mentors would tell me, Sheetal, like, you're doing so many things. Why don't you niche it down? You know, just pick one. But it never felt right to me. I was like, no, but I want to do all these things, you know, because I enjoy doing it and I have the energy to do it. I can handle all these things. So after I read my human design chart, I understood, oh my God, you know, things became very natural to me, because I'm a manifesting generator. And for me, it's very natural to be multi-passionate, you know, to go and get things done, to do things. So that made me understand who I am. And that also, like, you know, showed me a way to my purpose next in life. And that's when I knew I had to go into coaching. So I got certified in NLP, got certified in human design, and started giving coaching sessions, started giving human design reading sessions. So it's been amazing, the journey so far.
Yeah. Do you find a modality that, I mean, what I find mm-hmm. in coaching is that certain modalities work better mm-hmm. for some people than other people, you know, and some things that work better for me personally. And mm-hmm. so, but because it just works better for me doesn't mean that it's going to work better, best for one of my clients. So that was interesting. And that's one of the reasons I think somebody like you who has different mm-hmm. and is trained in different modalities can really be helpful, because you right. can try on these different things with people versus right. like one size does not fit all. So right. can you talk a little bit about human design? Because mm-hmm. the thing that I love about human design, and when mm-hmm. I learned it, is that it's not you taking a test.
Right.
And so because what I've learned about mm-hmm. personality tests is when you take a test, mm-hmm. what happens is it's contextual. And mm-hmm. so if you are not aligned mm-hmm. with your true self, mm-hmm. that when you take a test, mm-hmm. the results will be based on the mask you're wearing or right. the role you're playing. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, in some cases it might be accurate if you're aligned, but mm-hmm. so many of us are not aligned and we are living to what society wants or what we're being pressured to do, even just like needing to make money. Can right. misalign us. And so for me, and I love it for my students, because so many of my students come to me at later in life.
Right.
And the reason why they are so unhappy after the kids leave is because they really haven't discovered what their purpose is. Or maybe they had a purpose, but they have new purpose. And, you know, what is that? And if you're not aligned, you're not going to pick right, and you're not going to end up being fulfilled. And so for me, a human design is based on things that you have no input in. You are born on a certain day,
right.
you are born in a certain place and at a right. certain time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very fascinating to do this discovery. And then human design has so many different aspects to it. So just mm-hmm. like knowing that you're a manifesting generator, for instance, mm-hmm. is what you said, and that's what I am. Mm-hmm. But there's so many, like that's just the overarching type, which are, there are mm-hmm. five, right? There's five.
Yes, there are five. Mm-hmm.
And then, but there's so many, like there's centers, and it's like you have an open and closed center, there's channels, and are there open and closed channels? So it's being able to read a chart mm-hmm. is really a great talent to have. So when you read and found mm-hmm. out about human design and you discovered your type, what were some of the things that were either validating or you know, for me, one of the mm-hmm. things was to be patient, because I mm-hmm. talked to you about that. And you said, you know, it's funny because the person that or this was he a spirit that or a guide that you mm-hmm. pray to?
Right, right.
Faith, mm-hmm. faith and patience.
Faith and patience. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have like never been patient. And oh. so but that my type is supposed to wait.
Wait for your signs.
Mm-hmm. Wait to make, you know, don't make a decision. You can right. like have a desire or think of something, but then you sit and wait. And, you know, I had an experience recently of doing that, and it was mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, exactly what I wanted to happen. And so for me, it really was something that I hadn't even thought of until mm-hmm. I learned my type.
Right.
And I was like, oh my goodness. That is so interesting. I've always forced decisions. I've mm-hmm. never sat on decisions.
Right.
So that totally changed the way I approach decisions now in my life.
Right. Because human design, once you understand your strategy and once you understand your authority, because what we are told, like we have to make decisions through our mind. Okay. But the mind is not for decision-making. Your mind is for ideas, for thoughts, for inspiration. The way you make decisions as per human design is by listening to your authority. So everybody has a different authority. Like depending on your chart, you could have an emotional authority. You could be like a splenic authority. You could have a G center authority. So every type has different authority. So once you start listening to your authority, for example, I'm an emotional authority. So for me, the way I can make decisions is when I'm cool, calm and collected, because I'm a very emotional person. Yeah. So I can go like emotional high, or I can be very like, you know, emotional low. But I cannot make decisions. I'm not supposed to make decisions when I'm riding that wave. Only when I come to a neutral point, when I'm cool, calm, collected, that's how when I make decisions, they are very aligned. And for me, being a manifesting generator, my sacral will tell me whether it lights me up or not. And I have to listen to my sacral. So my sacral, when I ask the questions, should I do this or should I not do it? And the answer, like the bodily reaction, you know, the excitement which comes in that, yes, you know, I want to do this. This is so exciting, which is what happened when I wanted to do like the human design reading certification, when I wanted to do the NLP courses. It just lit me up. I was very excited. And that's when I knew this was meant for me, because human design taught me how to make decisions based on my authority. So yes, human design is very life-changing. It's a very self-awareness tool, because once you understand your design, once you understand your type, you know, how you're supposed to exchange energy with the world, because what happens is because of the conditioning of the world, your parents, your peers, you feel that you are supposed to be like this person or behave like this. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, you must have heard a lot of people saying that, oh my God, I'm putting so much energy, I'm putting so much effort into this, but I'm not getting the results the way I want. It's happening because you're not aligning with your energy type. To give you an example, suppose if, just imagine this whole world is like a theatrical production, and you are meant to play the role of a cop, okay? But you insist on playing the role of a doctor. So what happens is there is a misalignment, you know, because your soul came on this planet to play the role of a cop. And because your strengths, your talents, your gifts are geared towards that, you know, you can be a brave cop, you can be a very courageous cop. You are meant to live that role in this planet. But if you insist on playing the role of a doctor, because you're not cut out to be a doctor, and that's when you start suffering. That's when you take up this mistaken identity. That's when you feel that things are not happening for you. Life is not in flow. Because you're living your type incorrectly, because you're living in this mistaken identity. Yeah. And human design helps you to be aligned with the energy you are, you know, the energy type you are, because we live in a very energetic universe. Everything is vibrating. Like if you take your human body, if you take your cells and you break it down, the molecular structure, it'll come to atoms. So our cells are like vibrating atoms. Similarly, if you take any plants, animals, or even like the chair you're sitting on, if you break it down, they are also like, you know, the cells break it down to atoms. So they're all vibrating atoms. So we live in this, you know, this vibratory universe. Everything is in vibration. And that's how we are constantly like interacting with each other. Our energies are interacting. And that's why we have this aura, like, you know, all around us, which is like 3 to 6 feet. And this is our energy body. And this is how it is interacting with the other world. So that's why through human design, when you master your aura, which is your energy type, and you start living in alignment, you feel that life is, oh my God, so fun, so magical. Things are effortless for me, because the universe is sending everything effortlessly your way. You don't have to put an effort, because your job is to just be in alignment with who you are. And that's what human design helps you do that. And it has been such a transformational thing for me, because I'm so confident in who I am. And that was the reason I let go of a very successful business. People in my community were like shocked, you know, you were so successful. Why did you let it go? Because I realized it doesn't light me up anymore, that business, you know, coaching, doing these different modalities, helping people, like, you know, come back to their self, realize who they are, the potential in them, the power in them, just to empower, you know, women to go after their dreams, live their life. You know, this is something which is really lighting me up. So I want to do that right now. And that's how I'm taking all these steps and, you know, heading in that direction.
Yeah, that's great. And you can feel the energy like that you're lit up. You know, right. It's just like, yeah. And I find that when people, it's funny because when people are very more articulate, mm-hmm. and they're just can't stop talking, and they're mm-hmm. just so passionate, you can just feel the passion. That's when you really know you're aligned, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's enthusiasm and that sort of thing. And when you can't find the words, mm-hmm. and you're trying so hard, that right. there's usually a sign that
that's a sign, yeah.
right? And I love that so much.
Thank you.
yeah. So, I think human design is super powerful, and mm-hmm. I love that you are reading people's types, because it's something that is so vast and can tell you so much,
right?
And give you some answers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. It can definitely, because it's huge, this body of knowledge. Even I'm learning. I cannot say that I've mastered everything. Even for me, it's like, you know, learning every day about human design, and the more readings I do, even the better I get. And it's like, I've noticed that even like through your centers, when they're open, you know, how susceptible you are to pick up energy from outside. And when you have it defined, you have your own energy. you have your gates, your channels, you know, which gives you an insight into your strengths, your gifts, so that you can use them to do the things you're meant to do. Because that just gives you that confidence, you know, that yes, you know, this comes very naturally to me. And also it brings you in, it brings it into your awareness. Because once you're aware that, you know, this is something which comes very naturally, then let's just, you know, why not just go ahead in that direction?
Yeah.
So everything is, very
So I am not an emotional authority, which is funny.
What's your authority?
I'm not an emotional authority now. People, I think that's like a 50%, like half R and half R.
Yes, yes.
So, but what's interesting is that I can so see when an if you're an emotional authority, so many people get super excited about things and then make decisions.
Right.
Or on the reverse side, get super like upset or depressed about something, and then they make a decision in the moment of that emotion, and that is not good. So just knowing what authority you are is so important. I don't cry a lot, and I don't think I did ever really, even when I had my period. I don't have my period anymore. I always say I don't have estrogen, so maybe that's why. But no, I've never been a big crier. So like, if you do get, I had a student and she was like, I used to cry all the time. And so
maybe she was like, emotional.
She is an emotional authority. So just that information helped her so much.
Right.
And to learn her wave, because there's, you know, different wave types and your authority. So some people are like, have shorter periods. Some people have longer periods before.
There are different kinds of waves, and even an emotional like authority, there are like so many different kinds of waves. So yes, you know, studying these in depth or understanding about them also like gives you such a great insight in who you are, and then you can better manage your emotions going forward.
Yeah.
So yes, you know, I love human design.
And I would imagine like EFT is really helpful for people who have emotional authorities, because it's a more of a physical. It can de-stress you and that sort of thing.
Because in EFT, you tap on all these energy meridian points. So if you're having any anxiety, any stress, you know, all those emotions and just want to let go. Because when you tap on these points, the energy starts flowing very freely. It's only when the energy is stuck, that's when you start like, you know, feeling those emotions. So you need to like, you know, just move your body, like tap those points. So that really helps a lot.
Yeah. All right. So you're such a not your average person living a living a not your average life. You definitely fit that definition. So what, how do you perceive, like, what does that mean to you, living a not your average life, as we close?
It's like going after my dreams, going after what fulfills me, understanding like, you know, we live in this abundant universe. So I'm always provided for, I'm always supported, I'm always guided, and just to keep growing in this life, you know, in this world, and see where it leads to. So I stay excited. I stay positive. I'm a very happy person.
You know, isn't it sad that's not an average life, that most of the average lives are not growing, not focused on, you know, living their best life and doing what lights them up. So you're so right. It seems so simple,
but it is.
It seems so simple, but I just wish more people did it. So hopefully this episode inspired you to find something, that interests you and start that journey wherever that may lead, but make sure it excites you. Right. All right. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it. And it was a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average life.